unite our hearts together in prayer, please. And let's all seek the Lord just in a moment's prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his redeeming blood, we approach again on this the Sabbath morning to the throne of grace. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, the one that's seated at thy right hand. We thank thee for his blood that ever brings us nigh. And we commit this time now around the sacred scriptures into thy hands. We thank you for the privilege that is ours to gather in such a fashion and to wait in God even for these moments and then open the scriptures and see what the Lord would say to us out of Holy Writ. We thank thee, Lord, for the Bible, the Word of God in our own mother tongue. And we pray, O God, that you'll be near to us this morning. We have no desire to go through the motions of this time. We desire to meet with God. We desire to know thy presence and thy power. Bind the devil and every power of darkness. We stand into the victory of the cross. We pray that the blood of the Lamb will prevail. Remember the boys and girls as they gather round their teacher's knee, just over in the complex even now. Bless the work of our Sabbath school and our superintendent, Mr. McCosh. And we pray, O God, that you'll hear prayer and descend even in this little place. And may thy great name be glorified in all that's said and done this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Just want to look at one verse here. We will be turning through the scriptures a lot this morning, but for a text, we'll take 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, let me welcome you all to our adult Bible class. Let me also welcome our webcast viewers, wherever you're watching in from this morning. We trust God will bless you also as you join with us by this means. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, let's read this verse together, and then we'll have another moment's prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts in one more word of prayer. And as I have said many times in this little class, take upon our hearts even now just to, in the silence of these moments, to lift our hearts unto God and pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and my heart. This is just a short time, and yet it can be a time of great benefit because the Bible's opened. And when that happens, God is here. And therefore pray that God will speak to all of our hearts and bless his word to our hearts this morning. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness of these moments, we wait before God. We thank thee, O God, for this opportunity on the verge now of looking at the scriptures, just again to give ourselves to thee. I confess before thee my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Lord, we are no match for the one that we've been reading about in this verse. But we thank thee that our help is in God and our sufficiency is of God. And we overcome the evil one by the blood of Christ. And therefore, Lord, shelter us under the shadow of thy wing. We plead the blood against the devil. And I confess before your holy throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant, O God, that divine anointing. Grant, O God, that holy baptism, which God, we thank thee, thou dost give. O God, grant it now and bless us as we wait before thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are on the third Sabbath of 2016, the new year has come and gone, and like the one that has just passed away, we will all find that we have a threefold enemy. We found it all out in 2015. Of course, we knew it long before that. But we will find it out again this year. We have a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have probably, in the first few days of this year, already felt his power. experienced his wiles, heard his suggestions, endured his taunts, and if you're saved any length of time at all, we all know that without a doubt, he's not going to give us a year when he will decide not to trouble us. He doesn't care who he uses to annoy us, friend or foe, it matters not to him. He doesn't have any sympathy when we are down. The God we love, he hates. The Christ we adore, who died for our sins, he hates. The Holy Ghost who comforts us and dwells within our hearts, the devil hates. The doctrine of the blood of Christ being preached, he hates that doctrine. That blood that cleanses a sinner from all of their sin. The Church of Christ, he hates. And there's never going to be a moment until that moment when the devil is cast into the lake of fire, when he will not go against the Church of Jesus Christ and therefore the Christian. And so today, for a few moments, I want to look with you at your enemy and mine, the enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. And of course, we're speaking about the one that Peter speaks of here in verse number 8, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The first thing I want to say about him is this: he is not eternal. He is not eternal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are eternal. The devil also does not possess the attributes of omnipotence. That attribute of omnipotence, which means unlimited power. That is an attribute that is only possessed by God in the Trinity of his sacred persons. The devil does not produce that. He is supernatural in power. He is great power. But he can never be described as almighty because he is not almighty. He does not possess the attribute of omnipotence. He does not possess the attribute of omnipresence. In other words, he is not everywhere at once. You can never go anywhere where God is not. But the devil does not have that attribute. He has a seat. Revelation 2 makes that clear. He is not everywhere at once. He moves his seat. He's here, there, yonder, different places. But it's not so with God, because God is omnipresent. The devil also cannot and does not have the attribute of omniscience, which means unlimited knowledge. He doesn't know everything. Again, that is an attribute that is just possessed by the three persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost alone have these attributes of omnipotence, all power, omnipresence, every realm, omniscience, all-knowing. The devil is not eternal. He is a created being. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, please. Ezekiel chapter 28. As I said, we're turning through the Bible this morning quite a bit. Ezekiel chapter 28. And read with me there from verse number 13. Ezekiel chapter 28. There, the major prophet of Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28, verse number 13. And here is the devil described. Ezekiel 28, 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. They're speaking of the creation. The devil was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Go down to verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Now there we just draw our attention to that portion. Speaks about the devil being created, and therefore he's not an eternal person. He's created. He was created by God. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 12. Go right to the back of the Bible and to that final book. Revelation chapter 12. And here we have the time when the devil was cast down. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now when it says there, his tail, verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven there, it is speaking about the angelic host, the angels, 10,000 times 10,000s of them, the Bible says. That great company of angelic beings. But Satan brought a third of the stars, a third of the angelic host were cast out with the devil, caught up in his rebellion with him, and they were cast down to the earth. That's what it means when it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. It just means a third part of the angelic host was cast out with the devil. Now go down with me to verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Here's really a commentary on it. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And there we see it, dear people, just as by way of introduction, there we see what happened. The devil, in his rebellion, and took a third of the stars, a third of the angelic host, caught up with him in it, and they were cast out of heaven. Hence, Peter says to the church, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want you to turn now to Acts chapter 12. There's so many places we could have gone in the scripture, but I want you to go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Here is the New Testament church early on in its days. The apostles are here. Acts chapter 12. I just want to read with you the first 4 verses. Because here we see the devil going against the church of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and they killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, we don't need to, again, look at 1 Peter 5 just at the moment, but you interpret Scripture by Scripture, and the devil always uses instruments. And though here in Acts chapter 12, it's Herod that he's using to go against the church, yet understand, dear people, that behind this attack, as every attack, is the devil. He's going against the church in its infancy years. He's going with great venom. He's going as the roaring lion. And we're going to see the different names that are given him later on. But right now, the devil is going for it in this portion. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time. That's how the chapter starts. Now about that time. But what does that mean? Now about that time. What is Luke here when he's writing the book of Acts? What's he drawing our attention to with that little phrase which introduces verse 12 or verse 1 of chapter 12? Now about that time. He's speaking about what happened before that. That's what he's speaking about. Because remember, the chapters in the Bible, the chapter divisions, were put in by the translators. They weren't there in the original. So when Luke says here, now about that time, he's speaking about what has happened in chapter 11. And chapter 11 records for us, yes, there have been persecution. There have been a time of some of the church getting scattered. But the Bible says that when they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. The Holy Ghost was moving. The Holy Ghost was poured out. Multitudes of souls were being converted to Jesus Christ out of Judaism and paganism. God was moving. And chapter 12 introduces itself like this. Now about that time, Herod, the devil gets a hold of him. Herod begins to raise himself against the church of Jesus Christ. A time when God was moving. A time when you read that 11th chapter, Barnabas had seen what was happening in Antioch. He goes and gets Paul to come and help with the converts. It was a great time. But about that time, The devil was moving against the church. He was moving against those Christians. James, look at verse 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now we could really run with those two verses this morning. We don't have time to, so we'll not be doing it. But we could do it. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. What was the response? Were the people horrified? No, they weren't horrified at all. Verse 3 says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. The church there was facing a time when the people didn't want them. They didn't want the gospel. They didn't want the Christ of the gospel. And the venom was so strong that even the murder of James, a man of God, was welcomed by the people. It was welcomed. They didn't want James. And then when Pilate saw, or Herod saw that they were pleased with what happened to James, he just took Peter also. He just took Peter also. And he was put in prison. The enemy had come in like a flood against the church of Christ. Now, I do understand that Herod on this occasion is the instrument of the devil and the Jews. They're all there, and the devil has stirred it up. But always understand this, dear people, when we read the scriptures and we read about these attacks upon the church and attacks upon believers and the devil coming in like a flood, we always remember that the attacks of the devil are all known by the Lord. The church only sees things as they unfold. They only see things as they unfold. But it's not so with the Lord. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. The Lord, when you read Job chapter 1, the Lord permits things. In his church, he permits these things, and God is sovereign in them all. But the devil has not this free rein to go against the church. Now, can I suggest something at this moment? That you make it your prayer every day. Lord, bind the devil. Lord, cover me in the blood. Save me from his wiles. Because when you read Job chapter 1 and verse 1 down to verse 12, you will see that though Job was not aware of what the devil was doing, the devil was busy towards Job. Now just go with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. At this moment in Job's life, when you go down the first 12 verses, everything seems to be going fine for Job. Job would have thought that. Everything seems to be going fine. But in the background, the devil is planning a mighty attack and seeking to get it going. That's what's happening in Job chapter 1. And there's such a lesson there for us all. The devil is never... never idle. There is never a moment when he is not, and the powers of darkness are not, seeking to go against the church, seeking to set temptations, seeking to lay traps for the Christian. There is never a moment that happens. Job 1 makes it clear. Unknown to Job, Satan is already a planning to get in at Job, to have a go at Job. We could also go to Luke chapter 22. Don't turn to it for sake of time. But we could also go there to Luke 22, and there we would see, remember that day the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon. There's this double word, and I've said this before, the double word in Scripture, it's to draw your attention, it's a moment, it's a defining moment. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And again, we see the thought there. At that moment in Simon Peter's life, Simon Peter thinks he's fine. But the Lord informs him that unknown to Peter, Satan is already planning to have a go at Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has already desired. There's the venomous heart of the devil towards the Christian. Hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Unknown to Peter, Christ has been praying about this attack that the devil was planning on Peter. Christ was praying about it. And the Lord comes to Peter and says, listen, Simon, 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 Satan hath. It's already taken place. Peter didn't feel it at that moment, but he was about to feel the full force of it in a very short space of time. And therefore, make it your prayer every day. Lord, bind the devil. Just because I don't feel him at the minute near, you can be sure he's planning something. He never will. That's why I said in my opening words, there is never going to be a moment until Christ casts him into the lake of fire when he won't be going against the church of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. That's what he will do relentlessly. Goes against the church. I say, pray every day. God, bind the devil. Cover me in the blood. Because when the attack comes, it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. It was long in the planning. Getting everything right. Setting you up for the attack. You read the scriptures. That's what you will see. Now go back with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. That was really just by way of introduction. 1 Peter chapter 5. Because Peter says to the Christian here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As you know, the names that are given to the devil in the Bible are to reveal his characteristics. That's how we learn what he is like. That's why the Lord gave him different names, different writers giving a different name to him, that we might be able to sit down and get it all put together and begin to get a picture in our minds of what the one is like that is against us. Now you think of some of those names with me. Satan, it means adversary. Devil means slanderer. Beelzebub means the prince of devils. As I showed you at the start, he's not the only devil. A third of the angelic host were cast out. Demons. But Beelzebub, speaking of Satan, he's the most powerful devil. That's what it means. Apollyon, angel of the bottomless pit. Dragon. Lucifer. Serpent. Evil one. Roaring lion. Angel of light. You put those all together and you begin to get a picture. Lion, roaring lion, adversary, slanderer, Beelzebub, Lucifer, evil one, angel of light. Not easy to discern, but those names were given by the Holy Ghost that we might be able to, in our minds, recognize the personality and the works of the one that goes relentlessly against the Christian. Two Greek words in the Bible used for devil, they are diabolos, which means false accuser or slanderer, and demonian, which means devil, where we get our English word demon, demonian. But Peter says to these believers, and always remember that, it's to the Christian, be sober, be vigilant, because you're personal. Your adversary or opponent, your adversary, the devil. Then he just nails it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. He didn't say the adversary. He said your adversary. He's drawing attention to the personal nature of all this. There is nobody here sitting before God this morning that has not felt the temptations, the allurements of your adversary. There's nobody who hasn't felt that. We all feel it. And Peter was reminding these Christians of that. The word devil here, it actually means destroyer of peace. Destroyer of peace. Peter's addressing Christians, as I've already said. But let me say this to you, and I know I've said much of this before, but Peter's addressing Christians, and to the Christians, Satan is a subtle adversary. What do I mean by that? Satan is a subtle adversary. I mean this. Satan draws conclusions as he watches your conduct and my conduct. And from what he observes in our conduct, he regulates and prepares his temptations accordingly. That's what it means when it speaks of his subtlety. He just doesn't throw any old temptation at you. He watches your conduct. From what he observes there, he regulates and prepares his temptations accordingly to suit you. That's when Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. He meant, think about this. Think about the one that's against you, because he has thought about you. And you and me, I am sure. Well, I have. And we're only ending 2016, 3 weeks. And you have already seen that in this year, he has you worked out to a T. He knows all about you. Because he has watched you. He knows what gets you down. He knows your weakness. He knows all those things. And when Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, he's saying, listen, think about this, because your enemy has thought about you. Whenever Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, said to the believers there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. He's speaking there about wrestling. He uses the word wrestling. Can I say that the minute he had written that or said that to those Ephesian believers, we wrestle not, they immediately knew what he was talking about. Wrestling. I was in Ephesus a few years ago, as you all know. And they have their amphitheaters. And wrestling was an ancient sport. And the gladiators would go into the arena together and wrestle. So the minute Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, they knew exactly what he was speaking about. He was speaking about this wrestling. But he says, we do wrestle against principalities and powers. But why did Paul use the word wrestling? Well, there's many reasons. Wrestling is close combat. Wrestling requires energy and effort. In wrestling, you can get wounded. But here's another reason. The key of winning a wrestling match was your opponent recognizing your weakness. I've said this before. You imagine the great arena, and the crowds are gathered, and one gladiator comes in from one side, and another gladiator comes in from the other side to wrestle, and this guy's trainer finds out that the opponent's left leg is weak. He's going to tell his man, go for the left leg. The left leg has brought that man down in more contests. The left leg, that man has fallen more. There's a weak left leg. Go for that. There's no point in you going for his arms because they're as strong. Go for his left leg. You bring it into the spiritual. Because Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. The devil goes for the weakness every time. That is why, like all believers, there's times we feel like pulling our hair out. And we say, I can't believe he got me there again. I can't believe I have fallen at the same place every time. Was it just a coincidence? No, it wasn't. The devil knows the best place to get you and your weakness, and he's going for it every time. And that's why the Bible speaks about flee temptation. Because that weakness is where you're vulnerable. And the devil's, as I already said, he's subtle. He has monitored your conduct. He has watched your conduct and my conduct. Do I not know it? And he knows the weakness. And that's where he aims it. These first few weeks of 2016, we might as well get it into our heads. He's not going to give us a break for 2016. He's also an active adversary. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary needs no sleep. He knows nothing of fatigue. He needs no rest and won't take any. He is relentless in being your opponent. He'll be there whispering his accusations when you put your head on the pillow at night. And if you even get to sleep, once you open your eyes in the morning, he'll whisper them back into your ear again. He's relentless. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So what do? You avoid your weakness. You flee temptation. You close that door. That's what you do. Again, there are things the devil would tempt me with that he's not going to tempt you with, for the simple reason it's not a weakness to you, it's a weakness to me. And there'll be things he would tempt you with he won't tempt me with, because your weakness won't be my weakness. That's why Peter draws attention to the fact, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, it's all personal with him. He knows you and he knows me. But he's also a cruel adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Satan is not a lion, literally, as in a lion. Peter says, as a roaring lion. But just as the Christians in Peter's day, as the Christians in Paul's day knew what an amphitheater was, so did these Christians. They had their amphitheaters, listen, where Christians were thrown and ate and devoured by lions. That's the days the early church went through. So when Peter writes to them here and he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, merciless, vicious, will show no mercy. There will be no mercy in the heart of a lion. A lion would tear its victim to pieces. But I want you to understand something, dear people. There is the mind of the Holy Ghost on your opponent. There's the Holy Ghost telling you what he's like, a roaring lion, merciless. Merciless. Shows no mercy. We all know that. No compassion in his makeup whatsoever. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Next, what does he do? Well, we've sort of touched on this. He tempts. He lures. He uses all of his different wiles. Peter here is speaking about a roaring lion. That's the name that Peter has given him here. The Holy Ghost has given him this name here. But I want you to understand some things, that the devil doesn't always come as a roaring lion. In Acts 12, he came as a roaring lion. He came against the church there. James is put to death. Peter's in prison. He's really going for it. It's widespread persecution. But he doesn't always come like that. He comes with always the same desire, devour. But he uses different means, and he uses different strategies, and he uses different ways. You see, when the devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did not come as a roaring lion. The intention was still there, destroy. But he didn't come as a roaring lion. When he came to David on the rooftop, before that dark time in David's life with Bathsheba, he didn't come as a roaring lion. He came subtly to lure David, and quietly, unawares, and cause him to fall into great sin. Yes, Acts 12, he's a roaring lion, but the Garden of Eden, David, he didn't come as a roaring lion. He came to lure. What else does the devil do? He pushes. He drives. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. The devil desires to wear out the saint. Exhaust you. That's what he desires to do. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And I don't think I'm going to get this finished, but anyway. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. We'll just underline this verse, and then you can look at it maybe on your own. Daniel 7, 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The devil loves to push and drive and bring such ferocity in his temptations that he leaves you absolutely exhausted. Exhausted. But understand this, dear people. Christ never drives the Christian. If you always feel under pressure or driven or, well, I have to do this, and just pushed and pushed and pushed. That is not the Lord. The Lord leads His people. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's a tender shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He goes before the sheep. He doesn't drive the sheep. He doesn't seek to wear them out. The devil seeks to wear out the saints of the Most High God. But let me say this also what he does, because we have to move on. He is also a liar. A liar. Jesus said in John chapter 8, He is a liar and the father of it. You and I all know he's a liar. You say, how do we know that, Tom? We know it for this reason. When he tempts you, he promises you all the goodness that he'll say will come out of that temptation when you yield to it. You'll be happy. It'll be this. It'll be that. And he makes it so appetizing. He's a liar. Because it never happens. The minute you yield, nothing like that comes. Guilt comes. Regret, I don't believe I did this. Sadness comes. That's what comes. And always remind yourself of that when temptation comes. Say to yourself, how did I feel the last time this happened to me? And let that hold you back from it. The devil is a liar. You will no sooner fall into that sin that he has put up so pleasantly before your eyes than the moment you fall into it, he will say, now look what you did! And he'll start accusing you, and you'll go to prayer, and he'll say, you can't pray after what you just did. And he was the one that lured you into it with all his subtleties and all his wiles. He's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. Now turn with me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I've got about 3 minutes to get through two pages, so we'll not get through them, but we will try. Luke chapter 16. His lies are still about today, of course, in the world. To the sinner. Here's a man in a conscious existence in a lost eternity. It's the most solemn chapter. It's a man, the Bible said he was a rich man. But look with me at verse number 26. The rich man has wanted a drop of water. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, so that in verse 26 is the answer to the question for water. But then he said this, in other words, he's not getting it. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He wants a message to go from his conscious existence. And remember that, what's in view here. Souls that go into eternity, they're conscious. There is a conscious existence. But this man wants a word to go to those that are left behind and to warn them not to come to this place. I want you to note that it is forbidden and not allowed. It is not granted. Because it says in verse 29, Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, why do I say that? Because there are those today, mediums, who claim to make contact with the dead and bring messages from the dead. And if you go up the town centre into some bookshops, you will actually see books that claim to have these things written in them. They are all from the father of lies because they are all lies. The medium is deceived and the deceiver, because the Bible makes it abundantly clear that nothing, no messages, goes from the dead back into the living. They have Moses and the prophets. What does that mean? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them, verse 29. What that man has been told is this. the only light there is on life after death is Moses and the prophets. It's the Scriptures. That's the only word there is on it. That's the only source of information on that subject. And it's what's found in the Scriptures. He's the liar. He's the father of lies. Finally, and we had to just compress these last two, what is his end? What is his end? Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. It's a time in our Lord's ministry when he has crossed the sea and he has come into the land of the Gergesenes. And there's a situation here that's dark and demonic and devilish. Look at verse 28, Matthew 8, 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Here's a situation that's completely out of control for any man. And men did wisely to stay away from it. No man might pass by this way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now, listen to this. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Torment us before the time. What does that mean? The devil is aware, and so are the demonic beings, that their end is the torments of eternal hell. Hast thou come forth to torment us before the time? Before the end, that's what they're saying. You see, that word torment is the exact same word as is used over Revelation 20. Go there and this is us closed. Revelation 20. The devil knows his end. Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. There is the same word, tormented. They know that their end is coming. We could go to other places in Revelation and it speaks of the viciousness of the devil because he knows his time is short. He knows it's all ending for him. Christ is going to cast him into the lake of fire at the end of time. But dear believer, let this be a little word for us all at the beginning of another year. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, as a devil, walketh about. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm closing. Maybe I speak to one. You're under the cloud today. You failed the Lord. First few weeks, you vowed this year would be different. And he came, got you again. My friend, apply the gospel every time. When you go down, you get up. God loves me, and he still loves me. Christ adores me. The Holy Spirit's still my comforter and guide. I will arise and go to my Father, because the blood will keep cleansing me from all sin until I get to heaven. Until I get to home, because I've said before and I'll say it again, final sentence, Christ doesn't love the Christian on the basis of how they live the Christian life. If he did, God wouldn't love any Christians. He loves me and you in Christ as much as he loves Christ, and as long as he loves Christ, he loves us. Rest there. Go out and live for him. Keep near him, and may God bless his word to every heart for his name's sake. Father, take my word. Apply what's been of thee to every soul. Help us, Lord, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to take the armor of God, to lift the sword and wield it wide. And we pray, O God, that in these days in which we live, that many dear souls will be brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hear prayer, answer prayer, remember the morning worship service. And may the affairs of this day be owned of God and blessed by God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.